Case number 11,021, Edna Trent, east of Route 1, Coastal Highway, east of Seadale Drive, being lot 12 within Seadale Estates element, a variance from the front yard setback requirement.
Good evening. I'm Jane Patchell from Tunnel and Razor Law Firm. I represent Edna Trent and also Daryl Trent, who is the president of Acton Development, Inc. Edna owns a 60% interest in the property that's asking for a variance, and Daryl Trent owns a 40% interest. Mrs. Trent is 99 years old, lives in Kansas, and obviously cannot travel to the hearing tonight. Mr. Trent, for those of you who don't know, is an ambassador. He's been in Europe trying to settle down the European crisis over there, but I was able to get an affidavit from him affirming everything that I will testify to tonight, or that I will present to you tonight. His affidavit will testify and give the actual evidence.
I'll present that to you first.
Yeah, and I talked to Ms. Patchell earlier today. While we obviously prefer to have applicants here, as long as we have testimony in the evidence, that will provide substantial evidence for the board, provided that the affidavit meets that. I told Ms. Patchell earlier today, and I let the board know as well, if there is an issue regarding perhaps a question that's outside the bounds of that affidavit, or if there is someone here that had a question or were objecting to it, it's up to the board to determine whether there is substantial evidence, but if the board had a question, it might be worthwhile to have a supplemental affidavit submitted at some point.
Okay. Thank you.
The package that is being circulated around contains a letter from Daryl Trent that is a notarized letter with his testimony. I've also provided you with copies of the deeds to the property. Mr. Trent originally acquired the property February 25th, 1999, and has a continuous interest either individually in his personal capacity or as president of a corporation since that time. As I mentioned, at the present time, his interest is as president of a corporation that owns a 40% interest. So he has personal knowledge of this property since his acquisition in 1999. The reason that we are here today is when Mr. Trent purchased the property in 1999, he has made several improvements to the property, none of which are the reason that we're here tonight. He had a survey completed in 2004 by Charles L. Kaufman II, a licensed surveyor in the state of Delaware, depicting the improvements on the property, and he relied on that survey completed by a licensed surveyor in the state of Delaware to enclose underneath the house what was an open storage area. Now, if you look at the picture that is submitted, this is the result of the enclosure, and there is a small roof line above the garage structure that was enclosed with side walls. In Mr. Trent's letter, he is affirming to you that since the time that he purchased the property in 1999, that roof line has always been there. He made no expansion to the property. He did not enlarge it. He did not put that roof line there. So essentially, he put sidewalls up. He hasn't altered the footprint of the house in any way, shape, or form. However, after this was enclosed, he subsequently added a new set of steps that you see and a small deck over here in 2012. In compliance with Sussex County Code, once those repairs were completed, he had a new survey of the property prepared, and that survey was prepared April 4th, 2012, by Simpler Surveying and Associates, Inc. We now are into a battle of the surveys. If you look at the most recent survey for the area that was supposedly not altered but only a side wall was put up, the front corner of the property, it would be the northwest corner of the property, according to the Simpler survey, encroaches into the setback for the front yard by 1.4 feet. If you look at the Kaufman survey, where the exact same property existed, you'll see that it is substantially behind the front setback. Mr. Trent and Mrs. Trent do not claim to be experts and do not want to get into a battle of the surveys. Therefore, they are requesting a variance, assuming that the Simpler survey is correct, but out of an abundance of precaution. They did not create the situation. This house was built with the roof line. prior to their acquisition of it in 1999. The uniqueness of the property derives from the fact that they are located on a cul-de-sac, and you'll see they have a narrow frontage with an unusual frontage with the setback. You'll also see the Denrec building restriction line. So the area of their house that they could build on, if the house did not exist as it is extremely limited, much more limited than the property that you just heard from two applications ago. We're not requesting a variance to construct a new improvement. We will definitely tell you that, as you can see from the Denrec setback line, you can build something on the site. However, if the existing house were torn down based on the Denrec building restriction line, what you could replace it with is very, very small and would probably not even be livable space. It would maybe be a trailer that could fit there. It wouldn't be in conformity with the neighborhood. The variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property because without it, the front of the property, which has stood since my clients bought the property in 1999, would have to be torn off. The property would need to be refaced. And as you can tell from the picture, the aesthetics of the property would be completely changed. The applicant relied on a survey prepared in 2004 by a surveyor licensed to practice in the state of Delaware that showed that the dwelling and all extensions and improvements, including the roof over the open front storage area and garage, were well behind the front setback line. Therefore, again, to correct an error, if that survey is the survey that was wrong, the unnecessary hardship would be for my client to tear off the whole front of the house that has been there since when he purchased the property. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. Again, that condition has existed since the house was built prior to my client's purchase of it. Therefore, it's clear that the existence of the violation has no impact on the character of the neighborhood because it hasn't for all those years since the house was originally built. It will not substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use or development of adjacent property. Both adjacent lots, Lot 11 and Lot 13, are developed. They're improved with single-family dwelling houses. Most of the houses in this neighborhood are close to $1 million houses. So obviously the 1.4-foot setback violation, if the simpler survey is correct, has had no impact on the developability of either adjacent property. That also supports that the variance is not detrimental to the public welfare. The neighborhood's been able to be developed. Property values are approaching $1 million in that neighborhood. There's no health or safety issues that the front setback would create. The variance is the minimum that will afford relief for the client. Again, based on the simpler survey, the 1.4 feet that is being requested is the minimal variance in order to comply with the 30-foot setback. The variance represents the least modification, again, assuming that simpler survey is correct. Again, I want to reiterate that Mr. Trent does not want to get into a battle of the surveys. He doesn't want to choose one over the other. He's merely presented this application out of an abundance of caution to be sure that if someone else says that one survey is correct and the other isn't, that he is not in violation of any setbacks. Okay. His letter essentially lays out everything that I spoke about as far as the enclosure, the roofline being there when he purchased the property, the fact that he relied on a survey by a surveyor that was licensed to do surveys in the state of Delaware and knew nothing about a violation until he had a subsequent survey done by Simpler and Associates.
Okay, are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Rickards?
Yes, I can see why you wouldn't want to get involved in that. At 1.4, would it?
Surveyor?
Okay.
Well, actually, if you look at both surveys, that's not the only change, but that's the only change that we're interested in tonight.
Yeah.
There's many differences between the two surveys.
Yes, I know. Okay. I see that.
Mr. Workman? Mr. Hudson?
No.
Mr. Mills?
No.
Calloway? No. Okay. Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve case 11021 based on the cul-de-sac in front, the uniqueness of the property with the cul-de-sac in front, and the two different surveys play into that. But the cul-de-sac, of course, is the uniqueness in the property. And the variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. And the exceptional practical difficulty was not created by the applicant. And the variance will not alter central character of the neighborhood. And the requested variance, I believe, is the minimum that will afford you relief. And the request of the variance represents the least modification possible of the regulation.
Okay. Do you have a second to that motion?
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Mills that we approve case number 11021. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Berman?
Aye, for the same reasons stated.
Mr. Rickards? Again?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
Mr. Mills?
Aye, for Mr. Rickards' reasons.
And aye, for Mr. Calloway, for Mr. Rickards' reasons. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11021 is approved.